Welcome to episode 874 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we transition to the book of Joel, the 29th book of the Old Testament. The prophet Joel, whose name means Yahweh is God, presents us with a narrative that is both a reflection of his time and a timeless warning and promise for all believers. The exact historical context of Joel's ministry is not explicitly mentioned, leading scholars to debate its placement within Israel's history. However, what stands clear through the ambiguity is the universality of its themes: judgment, repentance, and the promise of restoration and spiritual renewal. Joel's prophecy begins with an immediate and devastating plague of locusts, described with such vivid detail that the reader can almost hear the locusts' wings and feel the despair of the people. This locust invasion devastates the land, stripping away the livelihood of the nation and serving as a powerful symbol of divine judgment. But, as we will see, it is not without purpose. This calamity serves as a backdrop for a much deeper spiritual message, a call to heartfelt repentance and the promise of restoration. The book of Joel holds particular significance in its depiction of the day of the Lord, a day filled with both dread and hope. It reminds us of the imminent second coming of Christ, a time of ultimate judgment and the final vindication of God's people. Joel's vivid imagery and prophetic voice call us to prepare, not in fear, but in hopeful anticipation of God's justice and mercy.
Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all who live in the land. In all your history, has anything like this happened before? Tell your children about it in the years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, the swarming locusts took what was left. After them came the hopping locusts, and then the stripping locusts too.
The book opens with a piercing alarm, a call to attention for all the inhabitants of the land. The prophet speaks directly to the elders and all the inhabitants of Israel, urging them to listen and to bear witness to the unprecedented calamity that has befallen the land. A locust plague, vast and destructive, has swept through the nation, leaving desolation in its wake. This plague, Joel tells us, is like nothing that has come before. It's a disaster that will be talked about for generations to come. Locust swarms are incredibly destructive. They descend in massive numbers, consuming entire fields and crops in a matter of hours. In Joel's time, agriculture was the primary source of sustenance, so a locust plague meant famine, starvation, and economic hardship. This devastation would have impacted everyone, from farmers to merchants to city dwellers. Locust plagues were often seen as a sign of divine judgment in the ancient world. People believed that God used natural disasters to punish disobedience and call his people back to him. In the book of Joel, the prophet directly links the locust plague to the Israelites straying from their covenant with God. Joel employs a variety of words to depict the locust's devastating impact, emphasizing the sheer intensity and relentlessness of the plague. The locust's destruction is compounded by a brutal drought. Farmers watch in despair as their anticipated crops shrivel up. They have no food, nothing to sell, and no seeds for future plantings. The scale of this disaster is unprecedented, a calamity unlike any their ancestors witnessed. This unique hardship ensures it will be recounted for generations to come. The locust plague served as a stark reminder of humanity's dependence on God for provision. When crops failed, it emphasized the precariousness of life without God's favor. The prophet also speaks of the destruction of key elements of the Israelite diet, including grapes, grains, and olive oil. Grains, particularly wheat and barley, were essential to the people's survival in Palestine. In the Bible, vines and fig trees represent a life of peace and plenty, blessed by God in the promised land. The ability to relax under the shade of one's own vine and fig tree symbolizes this idyllic state. However, their sins have brought down divine judgment, threatening this peaceful and prosperous way of life. This immediate, tangible disaster serves as a vivid symbol of the ultimate day of the Lord, a day of judgment and reckoning. The locust plague is a wake-up call, a tangible manifestation of divine displeasure that invites the people to consider their spiritual condition and their relationship with God. It's a reminder that, just as the locusts leave no green thing standing, so too will the day of the Lord spare nothing that stands opposed to God's holiness. When natural disasters occur, they provoke many questions, such as, why did God allow this to happen? Why have some people lived, while others have died? Is there a lesson here that we could learn? Joel had no doubt that the locust plague could lead to a deeper insight into God's universal plan. In chapter 1, under divine inspiration, the prophet relates the national crisis to the spiritual situation in the land. The locusts have left nothing that could be offered as sacrifice to the Lord. The grain offering and the drink offering were part of the daily sacrifices to be given in the temple, in accordance with the instructions recorded in Exodus 29 verse 40 and Numbers 28 verses 5 to 8. The cutting off of the sacrifices was severe, but it should have served as a warning to the people of their grave condition. The loss of opportunity even to offer the sacrifices symbolized the breaking of the covenant between God and Israel. But, unlike many of the other prophets, Joel did not spend much time making an analysis of people's failings. He was interested far more in dwelling on the cure, as prescribed by Israel's divine physician. The severity of the locust plague is matched by the intensity of Joel's call to repentance. The prophet summons the people to lament and to mourn for the land's devastation. He calls on the drunkards to weep over the loss of wine, the priests to mourn the loss of offerings, and the farmers to despair over the ruined harvests. The plague affects every aspect of society, touching every life and leaving no one whole. This universal suffering underscores the communal nature of sin and its consequences, as well as the collective responsibility for seeking God's forgiveness and mercy.
Blow a trumpet in Zion! Sound an alarm on my holy mountain! Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness.
Joel's call to repentance is dramatic and urgent. He commands the blowing of the trumpet in Zion, symbolizing a call to alarm and to action. The people are urged to consecrate a fast, to call a solemn assembly, to gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord their God. Here, Joel is not merely calling for ritual observance but for a deep, heartfelt return to God. The fast and the assembly are meant to be outward expressions of an inward turning, a genuine recognition of one's own sinfulness and need for God's grace.
Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster.
Even in the midst of judgment, Joel's message is imbued with hope. The prophet speaks of God's willingness to relent from sending calamity, of his graciousness and compassion. If the people return to God with all their heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, Joel assures them that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This promise of restoration is not just for the immediate relief from physical calamities but also points to the spiritual renewal and restoration that God desires for his people. The prophet urges the spiritual leaders to call a nationwide day of prayer and fasting so that the people can search deep within their hearts, renounce their sins, and return to their God. In this way, they will come out of the experience with a renewed trust in God's love and justice. In the end, this disaster might lead the believers into a deeper relationship with their Lord. Throughout the scripture, God is described as the Lord of nature, the one who created it, sustains it, and also uses it for his divine purposes. In this natural disaster, instead of rending their garments, the prophet Joel says that the people should rend their hearts and make them open to God's grace and compassion. This section of the book resonates with the message of the great controversy, the ongoing battle between good and evil, and God's ultimate plan for the restoration of all things. The promise of restoration in Joel is a foretaste of the new earth, where sin, suffering, and death will be no more, and where God's people will enjoy eternal communion with him. Father, may we heed the call to examine our lives, to turn to you with all our heart, and to embrace the hope of your promise, a world renewed, a relationship restored. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.